Hi guys, welcome back to the Scrubs Off Duty podcast. Today I have the most exciting guest, Nikki. She's been requested to come on multiple times and I'm so excited we could find a day to talk. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi guys, it's Nikki Alvarez. I am an ER nurse in New York City. I primarily am like a content creator on TikTok. Love connecting with you guys. I love Brie. We're both ER nurses, so this works out perfectly for us. And I'm so excited to be a guest.
I know. I was so excited. I love talking to other ER nurses and just seeing like what it's like in your ER and your journey and everything. How did you decide you wanted to be an ER nurse?
I feel like my route was not very traditional. The whole time I was in school, I really thought I was going to do like peds or L&D. I thought I was totally that type of girly. I basically my junior, like the summer in between the junior and senior year, I did an externship and they had asked me like, oh, what unit do you want? And I was like peds, L&D, women's health, like anything like that. And they're like, okay, we're going to put you in the ED observation unit. And I was like,
that's not sure. What I asked for.
Not what I asked for, but okay, whatever. Roll with the punches. I'm a very firm believer in like everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I was like, went in with an open mind, had a great time. Like I really loved that unit. It was really like a very like easy unit, but it was a great place like as a student to learn. So then it wasn't really ER at all. It was really just like a med surg unit, but the patients would only be there for like 20 hours. So it like wasn't really considered inpatient. So it was like a lot of chest pains that needed like serial EKGs and tropes and cellulitis that needed like 2 days of antibiotics. And it was kind of like overflow from ER and also overflow from like the floor. But it was a really great place to learn as a student. And the title of the floor was enough to give me like an edge in my ER interview. So I, you know, when you're a new grad and you're applying for these fellowships, you're like critical care fellowships open, like the applications open before just regular job opening. So it was like probably like February or March of my senior year. And some of the like ER critical care fellowship applications had opened. And I was like, all right, like, let me just apply. Literally it was just like a YOLO, let's just apply, see what happens type thing. And my sim professor at the time was like, I think you'd be a really good fit in the ER, because he was an ER nurse and he purposely made our sims so hard and like tried to like throw us off on purpose. And he was like, I think you'd be a really great fit, like you're really like quick on your feet, like your critical thinking skills are great. I was like, okay, like I'll apply, whatever. And then I got the job and I was like, okay, well, everything happens for a reason. So I guess this is where I'm meant to be. And now I'm like, yeah, no, that was a perfect fit for my personality.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I didn't originally think I wanted to do ER either. I wanted to do peds is what I thought at first. And then I like kind of had no idea where I wanted to, but I just like knew I liked kids. So that's why I think I was gearing towards peds. But yeah. No, I feel like once you go to the ER and you're like, wait, this is where I'm supposed to be. You can't leave after that.
Also, like when you're in nursing school, like the idea of peds is like, you know, I feel like it's really like glorified, but like liking kids, liking healthy kids and liking sick kids is very different. Like your totally experience different. Interacting with a healthy kid. I love kids outside right. of the ER. When I have a, like, we're like a mixed peds adult ER. So we see some peds. We're not like a specialized peds ER. Now when I see kids, I'm like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? Like, but outside the ER, I love children. Same. I just don't want sick children.
Same. Yeah. And I feel like you don't think about that when you're like, no. Oh, I want to do peds. Or at least I didn't. I was like, oh, kids, you know, but no. Now when I see a sick, like a true sick kid, I'm like, oh gosh. Like, yeah. I can't handle it. I mean, I can, but you know what I mean? Like you get nervous. Yeah. They're fragile. And so hard.
I give so much credit to like pediatric nurses. I think they're literally incredible. And I just, also you don't realize like they hate you. Like the kid hates you every time you're, I mean, at least in the ER, it's probably a little different on like inpatient floors when you can like kind of build a rapport with them and like a relationship. Right. But in the ER, every time you're going to that room, it's because you're either going to stick them, swab right. them, give them a medicine that tastes horrible. Like,
yeah.
they see your face, they're going to start crying immediately.
Literally. Like, they resent very different. You.
Yeah.
It's so different. Yeah, you're not just, like, there to, you know, play games with them and cuddle yeah. and have fun. Like, they hate you. You are like, mean. Like, you do the worst things to them.
The RVP swab, like, behind your back.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, hi, Mom. Are you going to help me hold?
Yeah. But, and they just know. Like, you just walk in the room and they know. Even before so you even smart. Do anything. Like, they just they're know like, yeah, you're not like, doing anything. Fun.
You're not here for fun.
Right, right. Well, I love that you had an instructor that was supportive and encouraging you to go to the ER because yeah. I feel like that's pretty rare to yeah. have, at least, I mean, it's different everywhere, but I feel like majority of instructors, at least my instructors, were like,
yeah.
no specialties, yeah. like ER, nothing L&D, no, like you need to go to med surg. And yeah. that was like very instilled upon us.
I went to NYU and I feel that they very much are like very forward thinking. And like if any school's gonna do it first, it's gonna be NYU, mm-hmm. which I absolutely love. Like I loved my experience there so much. So like from the beginning, you know, obviously every once in a while you're gonna get a professor that, you know, pushes med surg, but I really felt very encouraged by our professors to kind of go into something that you like are passionate about and that you love. And we had a lot of lectures on like burnout. And I just felt that all the professors were very much like on the same level as us and they wanted us to succeed. And mm-hmm. I still talk to like a few of them now. Like it's pretty funny because one of my old professors is, he works per diem in our ER. So now we're just like coworkers.
Yeah.
And it's like the other day, like he was in the zone and I was in charge and I'm like fake yelling at him that he has to go on his break. Like, as a 100% joke. And then he just like looks at me and he was like, I was your professor a few years ago. And I'm like, yeah, well now you have to go on break. So get out of here.
Now I'm in charge. No, that's really funny. One of my, the person who taught the professor that taught our ER, like critical care class, I worked with her. She's per diem also, in my old ER. And it was so weird for me, like working with your professor at first, like definitely it became more professional, but I was like yeah, almost nervous and really scared. Weird. I'm like, yeah. Wait, you're my coworker now. Like, how do I act
feel like
around
you're, like,
you?
Back in school.
Yes. Like the pressure. And then the yeah. one day she was supposed to precept me, but then it ended up getting switched. But I was like, I can't do this. Like, she's going to be my preceptor. Like, yeah. I don't know. This is too much pressure.
It's also like really the transition funny. Between like calling them Dr. blah 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 to like their first name now that you're mm-hmm. just like coworkers. Like it still feels a little weird now, but now I'm used
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It feels wrong. Like this is not allowed. I should not be doing yes. this. But I love that though, that you have a similar experience. That's so funny though. How do you like being charged? Is that you recently have started charge,
yeah.
right?
About, well, actually it was in April. So, you know, we're coming on that like year mark.
Wow. Time flies.
Time flies. Time does.
I feel like I just watched videos of you like a couple months ago saying you were yeah. training for charge, but yep. it obviously wasn't a couple months ago.
Yeah. It's actually crazy. The whole, like, time is just wild, but I actually really love it. Like, I feel like you either love it or you hate it. Yeah. I'm really lucky to work at like a really great hospital with a great union and like our working conditions are definitely way better than like the average hospital where like as mm-hmm. charge, I never have like a patient assignment. Like,
that's nice.
We always get our breaks. Like, so, you know, for me, I really like charge cause I like to be in charge. I just like, I like calling the shots. Like I love like just having that, like, I don't know how to explain. I just like feel very confident in that chair. And I like mm-hmm. now having that like global view of the department where like I feel confident that like I can run the ship smoothly and mm-hmm. it just like makes me feel good. And now I'm precepting one of our new fellows. So now like I have a really good like variety of being in triage, being in charge, being in the zone by myself, precepting, like I feel mm-hmm. very fulfilled by that variety. And like, I like being like, I like knowing that like I'm an important member of the team.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like preceptor and charge is such an important role. But that's so true. Some people really hate charge or just like aren't fit out for it. But I think you have to have like a strong leadership personality. What are some of the things you have to do as charge in your ER? Like, what are your roles?
So our like majority of the time in charge is just moving patients around and playing like, I don't even know what, like, I don't know what game it would be, but constantly moving patients around. As soon as you're seen, you're like pulled to a hallway spot. Like, who needs a monitor? Who doesn't need a monitor? I assign everyone to nurses. We do like round robin. And then we have like an upgrade system with our physicians. So if like a patient needs to be seen right away, charge nurse is responsible for like figuring out who it needs to be upgraded to and telling the doctor and getting all the resources in the right spot. And then also like just being in charge, you are just responsible for dealing with everyone's problems. Like, like
all the questions DBS, come to you,
the
text,
the transport, like everyone's problem is your problem. But I'd like to see myself as like a problem solver. And a lot of times people aren't actually looking for a solution. They're just looking to like say something like a soundboard. Like they need to just say it. And I'll just be like, yeah, that's really frustrating. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to go. I'm like, okay, bye. Like,
I have but definitely
that's like
done
the
that
majority of it. Sometimes people just need to like say it out loud, and you just need to be there and like acknowledge their feelings and acknowledge the issue, offer a solution. But most of the time they know the solution already. They just need to like confirm with someone else that it's like the right thing. You're like, you're doing great. Yes, that's
you're
exactly
doing amazing,
what you should
sweetie.
Do. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So then are your ratios, I know you said as charge, like you don't take patients, but are the ratios when you're in a zone, like, are they still 1-4 or are they
not? We don't have set ratios. I would say like on an average day, if you're on like the critical care side, we'll have like 4-5. Then when it starts getting busy, that's when you see like 6-7. And then the urgent care side, like our fast track, you know, you can have like 10, but they're all like walkie talkie, like laceration, ankle pain, like stuff like that. But yeah, we don't get those. I mean, you hear these like horror stories of like New York City ERs where people have like 20 patients, like that's,
Okay. So you said you went to NYU. So you obviously got your bachelor's degree. Was that always your plan to go to nursing school, or when did you figure that out that you were like, okay, I want to be a nurse?
Yeah, I actually like, I feel like not a lot of people are like this, but I knew in high school that I wanted to be a nurse. I like in like 10th grade, well, I used to think I wanted to be a marine biologist. And then I found out that marine biologists don't just like hang out with dolphins. They actually focus a lot more on like algae. And I was like, oh no, I don't like that. So in like 10th grade, I really liked like biology and our health class. So that's when I was kind of like looking into my options. And I like knew I wanted to do something in medicine, but I wasn't really sure like which way I wanted to go. And I had volunteered at a hospital in high school, and I'm like looking around and like all I see is nurses. I'm like, there's doctors that work here. Like all I see are nurses. Like I just saw like how like nursing really is just like the glue that holds the whole hospital together. And I really like love people. Like I just like, I knew that I wanted to be like the profession that like is taking care of the person, not just like the disease. So that's why I went to nursing school. But I actually went to school in Florida for a year and a half. I went to the University of South Florida in Tampa, and they had like the type of programs where like you got in as like a pre-nursing major, but you weren't actually in the program. So you'd take like 2 years of prereqs and then apply to the nursing program. And if like you got in, great. If you didn't, you either had to change your major or like go to a different school. But I just like didn't vibe there. Like I didn't really like it. I knew I wanted to transfer and like come home. I tried to do the go away thing. It just wasn't for me. So my the fall semester of my sophomore year, I was like looking to transfer into other schools, and I got into NYU. So then I transferred to NYU my sophomore year, and I got right into their nursing program. So I still graduated like in the 4 years. But I got my BSN from NYU.
Nice. I didn't know that you went to Florida. That's a big change.
I know. It's like a fun fact that a lot of people don't know.
Well,
it was good. I liked Florida. I just like the school was like a really big commuter school, and I was from New York, and I was like in a dorm room that was only for like pre-nursing students. So we were all in the same classes and we were all like competing for the same spots. And like, I felt like all my friends were going home on the weekends, and obviously I couldn't go home on the weekends because I was from New York. So it just wasn't for me, but yeah. I mean, I still enjoyed my time there. I just wanted to come home and try something different.
Yeah. I think that's fine. I think a lot of people don't talk about how hard it is to leave home, especially that far of a distance. Like, it can be really hard.
Yeah.
When you know, I mean, you obviously can make friends, but you know no one. But
yeah.
Like, that's how I felt with leaving to do travel nursing. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do it. Like, I don't know. I'm going to leave my whole family and like move across the country for a short term of, or a short time. But still, it's hard. Out of your comfort zone, for sure.
And also, like, I had decided, like, my junior year of high school that I wanted – I was like, I hate it here. I'm going as far away as possible. Like, I didn't have a good, like, high school experience. So I was like, I'm getting out of here. Like, whatever. I had all my colleges, like, picked out. And then my senior year of high school, me and Jacob started dating. I start getting, like, this great friend group. And I'm like, oh, I don't actually like it here.
I feel like everyone goes through that phase where they're like, nope, I cannot wait to leave. Like, it is horrible here.
I was like,
here.
I need to get as far away from here as possible. So that was interesting.
Congrats on your recent engagement, by the way.
Thanks. So exciting.
Jacob is in PA school, right?
Yeah.
How is that on your relationship? Do you like being with someone in healthcare? I feel like everyone has their pros and cons. I personally really like it, but I mean, I'm with a nurse. Yeah. So how is it with someone in PA school?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's different. It's actually kind of crazy because, like, you know, we both started dating before either of us were in healthcare. Like, so it's been quite the journey, but I really like it because, like, during COVID, when he was still, like, taking his prereqs and I would come home from work and I'd be, like, so upset with, like, everything that's going on, and I would, like, try to talk to him about, like, the things I'm seeing. And, like, if you've never been in a hospital, if you've never worked in a hospital, you just, like, even you can listen all you want, but you're never going to, like, actually be able to grasp anything that that person is saying to you. And now, like, he's working in the ICU, like, 312s a week for the last semester. And, like, we just talk about, like, everything now. And I know now, like, anything I say, like, he'll know what I'm talking about. And, like, the other day, there was, like, some, like, order on a patient that I was, like, I don't know if this is right. And I just, like, happened to be texting him. And I was, like, do we give this for this? He was, like, yeah, we do. And I was, like, okay, great, thanks. Like, like, it's just nice. And now that he's doing, like, the 312s, I can, like, he still has to study. He still has class, like, outside of that. So he's still really busy. But, like, now I, like, kind of see, like, how life will be after school when he's just doing 312s and I'm just doing 312s. So I'm excited. And I'm, like, just, like, so proud of him because, like, when we started dating, he, like, was, like, I'm going to school for football. And now he's, like, top of his, like, PA school class. Like, literally, it's, like, a 4.0. It's incredible.
Wow.
He's so smart. I'm, like, wow, like, you're smarter than me now. Like, I don't know how I feel about that one.
Does no, he?
Great. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Does he know where he wants to work after?
Right now, he's pretty open. He's doing his, like, ICU, like, mini fellowship, like, capstone thing. He likes ICU. He also really loved the ER. So we'll see. It's like, it's similar to nursing where it's like that first job is like the hardest to kind of get. And then, you know, after that, you can do whatever you want. So we'll see what happens.
Do you have any plans for furthering your education or anything like that? Or do you like where you're at right now?
I just think I like where I'm at right now. I really thought I was going to go back to school. If I ever go back to school, it'll be for like a master's in education, like nursing education, to kind of be like a like clinical teacher or whatever. But right now I'm just chilling. Like I really genuinely enjoy where I'm at in my life. And also, like, Jacob is finally going to be done with school in May. Like, it would just be insane for me to be like, okay, now I'm going back to school. Like,
my turn.
We've been dating for 8.5 years, and the whole time someone has been in school. So I'm very excited for this, like, next chapter of life where neither of us are in school and we can like plan our wedding and eventually move in together and like do all that. And just like where I'm at right now, I don't need to go back to school. And also I feel like there's like a lot of pressure to like, you know, what's next, what's next, what's next. And it's like, I'm chilling. Like I'm having a good time. Like I make good money. Like I like everything that's going on in my life right now. Like I don't need to add any more stress.
I feel pretty much the same way. I feel like originally my plan was literally that why I got my associate's degree. One of the reasons was so I can start working, get my 2 years of experience, you know, get my bachelor's online and then go straight to NP school. Like that was my plan in my head. And like, you know, when I was 17 or whatever, that was my goal. But now that I'm actually, you know, a nurse and doing it and got my bachelor's and all that, I'm like, I don't think I want to do that right now. Like I, you know, props to all the people that do go to NP school and, you know, get their CRNA or whatever. Like, that is just not something I see right now. In like my 5-year plan. But I feel like it's always, you know, whether it's yourself putting pressure on yourself to move forward and further education, or it's just like other people, like you said, like what's next, what's next. I don't think that's something you have to do, you know, like, I love that you're happy where you're at. I'm happy where I'm at too, but it's like a internal battle that I have with myself because I feel like you're always used to, you know, moving forward in life and whatever, but like, it's okay. It's okay to be happy where you're at. It's not like you're not learning too. Like, I feel like I have to tell myself that a lot. Like I'm still learning every single day. So like that part of me is fulfilled, you know?
And also like there are like the really cool thing about nursing is that there's so many things you can do without a master's. Like I, for by no means do I think I'm going to be an ER nurse forever. I know that it is not a sustainable like specialty. It's fun for me when I'm young and it's exciting, but like by no means do I think I'll be here forever. But there are so many things I can do without having to go back to school. Like there are so many other like specialty units you can try. There's so many different like outpatient things. I was a school nurse for a little bit, like on, as a side job. Like that was great. Like I can see myself doing that when I'm like older and ready to settle down. And then also you can literally go back to school whenever you want. Like there's just like, I feel like there's a lot like your 20s and like your 20s and even like into your 30s, there's just a lot of like societal pressure to like go, 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 go. But like, you have your whole life to literally do whatever you want. Like if I want to go back and do like an online program for nursing and like education when I'm older, like I'll do it then. Like it's not a big deal. Like I don't need to do anything right now. I think there's just like a lot of not even just like nursing, just like in your 20s, there's so much pressure from society to like constantly like just keep going, 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 work yourself into the ground that it's like, well, now your life is past and like what do you have to show for it besides like the fact that you worked your whole life? I just want to have fun.
Exactly. Like,
and chill.
Yeah, I love that. I was just talking to my parents about this a few weeks ago that like I'm going to botch it. How do you say it? I always say it the opposite way. Hold on, wait. Let me think about it. I want to work to live, not live to work. Is that right? I don't know. Whatever way it is, is like basically, you know what I'm trying to say? It's a saying, but I always say it the opposite way that I'm intending to. But, you know, like I think obviously you want to work and you need to make money and stuff like that and live, but like there's so much more to life than the grind, you know, and like you're saying in your 20s and even 30s, I feel like there's so much pressure to grind it all out and get this done, get this and achieve this. But like these are the best years of your life, you know? And I asked my grandma before she passed away, I was like, what was your favorite age in your life? And she said her 20s. Those were her favorite years. And it's like, you know, like you said, what do you have to show if all you do is work, 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 work? Yeah. You know, you those aren't memories that – I mean, maybe they are. Maybe if you're really work-driven. Yeah. I know people are like that. But you also want to live a little because, you know, life is short and you never know when it can change.
Especially, so, like, working in the ER. Like, I feel we have a better understanding that life is short and literally mm-hmm. tomorrow is never promised. And it's like, right. you know, it's good to be focused on the future and like do things to better yourself, but you also like can't lose yourself in the process. And I think it's really easy to lose yourself in the process. And I think yeah. it takes a lot of like self-reflection and just like actively trying to like better yourself and like figure out like how mm-hmm. can I make the most out of what's given to me and kind of just enjoy every day and like live every day like you might not have tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like you said, working in the ER, you definitely get that perspective because, you know, not that I didn't live my life to the fullest before becoming an ER nurse, but I definitely think like, especially there's some days that, you know, you have a really rough day and it really puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
But, you know, working in the ER, you see people's worst days every day pretty yeah. much. And so it really, you know, goes to show that you got to do your best to live life to the fullest because yeah. you never know when you can't anymore. So,
yeah.
You're really big, which I love. I am too, on using your PTO. I love that.
Hell yeah.
You're on a stretch right now, right? Of 15 yeah, days great. Off. Love that yep. for you.
It's wonderful.
I really like that you use your PTO. I worked with so many people who had hours and hours and hours stacked on each other, like 100 hours or something ridiculous. Yeah. And I'm like over here with 3 hours left. I'm like, I use that. Like, paid vacation.
Yeah.
Will
yeah.
do.
Yeah. 100%.
And you always stack your schedule in a way to where like you're only using 3 days, right? Right now.
Yeah.
So do
yeah.
you want to talk about how you do that?
Yeah. It's my absolute favorite thing to do. And I've made so many TikToks about it because I just need to share the wealth.
Right.
but if you have so we work 3/12. So if you have, this is also really hard to explain. Every time I make this video, I like green screen with Nurse Grid because I can't explain it without the visual.
But and even, if you and even when you make it that way, people still are like, I don't get it. Because I've made videos too about it, but like 8 days off when I've done it without yeah. PTO, people are like, this makes no yeah. sense. I'm like, I don't know how to explain it. It sounds so hard to explain, but.
Yeah. If you work 3 days a week and you self-schedule and you can pick which days you work and you have 3 days of PTO, which is one week of your schedule off. And then the week before you stack to work in the beginning of the week. So you work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You've off the rest of the week, not taking any PTO because you already did your 3/12s. And then the next week you have PTO. You have 7 days off there. And then the week after the week of your vacation, you back end that week to work Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So in total, you have 15 days off. The only thing that's like is bad about this is when you come back from vacation, your schedule probably is going to be awful.
Yeah, probably.
Because anytime you like back end a week and then you have to get like that 4-day weekend and your like weekends in whatever, your schedule is probably going to be a little rough when you get back, but you just have 15 days off, so you can do whatever.
Right. It's You're fine. Ready. You recuperated. You can handle it.
Yeah.
Just think yeah. about the time yeah. off you had. Like,
unless you came back from like a big trip and you came back like the day before you go back no. to work. Like, I do not recommend doing that. Always give yourself like yeah. 1 or 2 days at
well,
least.
You gotta,
to, like,
you got to unpack. You.
Come down.
Some people don't do that though. Some people literally leave work yeah. straight to the airport, come back home, and they're at work like an hour later. I'm like, you're crazy.
Listen, good for them. My yeah. brain could not do that.
Yeah.
On the verge Same. Of a panic attack. Like, I need at least 24
Recuperate,
hours.
To, settle
like,
down. Yeah, mentally prepare. You need to yeah. mentally prepare for work.
Yeah. Also, like, the anxiety of, like, if your flight is delayed or, like, something happens and, like, you're yeah. in a different state and you're supposed to be at work.
Yeah, that's
like,
a lot of pressure.
Can't. I'm already panicking that it's going to rain on my wedding day in, like, 2 years. Like, my anxiety cannot.
It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. We're going to manifest that it is going to be the most beautiful day ever, the best weather. It's in October, right? Is that when you picked it out? October?
Yeah.
That's going to my yeah. brother, my brother's best friend, he's like a family friend now, basically. He's been in our lives for years. He got married in October. I think it was October 22nd. Is that your date or is it the 24th?
October 26th.
26th. I knew it was 20-something.
Of 2024, yeah.
But it was October 22nd, and I live in Michigan. So Michigan, I mean, it's pretty similar weather to New York. Like, not nice. Like, cold in the winter and fall. Like, it's cold most of the time, snowy. And it literally was the most – it was 70 degrees on his wedding day this last October. Yeah. Sunny, beautiful. Yeah. Like, the best weather you could ever imagine. And then the next day, it was, like, rainy and gross, you know? So, like, this is going to happen for you. I am – you are going to have the best weather.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there now.
Everyone that listens to this podcast, please put it out there for me.
No rain on Nikki's wedding day.
You don't have to follow me on TikTok. You don't have to follow me on Instagram. Please just manifest that it will not rain on my wedding day.
Manifest it with us right now.
Stop everything you're doing.
But they say rain is good luck, though, don't they? Isn't that what they say? I feel like they just say that, though.
It can
rain
in the morning. It can rain after the ceremony. I don't care. Just for the ceremony, I need it to be sunny.
It's going
to
be beautiful.
For my pictures outdoors, I need it to be sunny.
This hair,
on a humid day, forget about it.
Yeah, you do have curly hair. I did get a couple questions about curly hair tips. I know you probably got all the tips, right?
I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I've only had 25 hair is good. Years. I love your hair. I mean, I think it's always like, you wish you had what you didn't have. Like, I wish I had curly hair. My hair is pinned
I'm
straight.
Definitely learning to love it more. The issue is that I still don't have, like, a solid routine where, like, it looks the same every time. And I don't think anyone with curly hair will say that their hair looks the same every time. So, like, some days it'll look great. And those are the days I post on TikTok. Some days it looks like I stuck my finger in, like, an electrical socket. I don't post on TikTok those days. So.
That's okay. It's okay.
It's fine.
You're so funny. An electrical socket. I'm sure it never looks like that. I'm sure you just think it looks that way because
next time it looks like that, I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, I need to see it because I don't believe it. I've only seen your hair look beautiful.
Social media is not real.
That's true. Highlight reel. You commute to work, right? It's like a decent drive.
Yeah, it's about an hour with no traffic. It's honestly not that bad. Like, some people think I'm actually crazy. Yeah, if you're not from, like, the New York, like, Long Island, New Jersey area, it's very hard to, like, understand. Like, I feel like people that live in, like, LA and, like, that area will understand. Like, if you live in, like, a big city, like, Long Island, literally, which is where I live, mm-hmm. was like designed for people who work in the city but want to live in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So like, even though it may seem crazy that I like drive an hour, like everyone at that time is also driving towards the city because everyone works in the city because like that's where the money is. That's like, it's just like how it is. I don't know. But I went to school in the city also, so like this is nothing new for me. Okay. I commuted to school, I commute to work. It's just, it is what it is. I listen to audiobooks in the car. I like literally love my car with all my heart. Like, my car is my safe place. And there's like nothing I love more than like after a rough shift, like just getting in my car and like being alone. And like, mm-hmm. if I wanted it to be quiet, it could be quiet. If I want to scream to music, I can scream to music. Like, mm-hmm. if I want to escape into a fantasy book, I can do that. And I just love that. Like, it's just so, like, cozy, and I love it. And then I come home, and, like, I walk in the door, and both my parents, who I love with all my heart, don't get me wrong, but, like, walk in the door, they're like, how was work? I'm like,
don't ask.
I'm like, it was great. It was something. I don't know. I'm just, like, again, I'm chilling. It doesn't bother me. I know it's not forever.
Right.
And the moment that it's like causing me more stress than like not, then I'll stop. But like, again, like, it is. No, but what I think
that's good. You make the most out of it. Like, you listen to audiobooks, you know, like you listen to good music, you make fun of, you make the drive fun.
Yeah. And also, like, my job is so good. Like, I get 2 breaks every shift, I get 6 weeks of vacation. Mm-hmm. Like, the pay is good. Like,
it's worth it.
It's worth the hour commute for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I get it. That's justifiable for sure. Yeah. You are a big book girl, which I love. I know, I'm like looking at the bookshelf right now. What books are you reading right now?
Last night I started If He Had Been With Me on Kindle, which everyone replied to my story was like, oh my God, girl, get ready to cry. Like, that book is so traumatizing. Like, it's so sad. And I'm like, that's literally why I'm reading it.
I haven't cried from a book yet.
Wow.
I don't know why I haven't cried.
What's like the saddest book you've read?
I don't know. I almost cried from one of the Colleen Hoover books. Reminders of Him, I think, almost made me cry.
Yeah, that book made me cry like a other little. Ones,
but no, like people said when I read It Starts With Us or It Ends With Us. No, It Ends With Us. That's the first one. Yeah. They said like, oh my gosh, be prepared to cry your eyes out. And I didn't cry. And I was like, "Is there? Something do I have wrong something me? Wrong with me?
No, I think. Like, yeah. For me, like the books that make me cry the most are like, a lot of times it's like these like fantasy series that have like 4, 5, 6 books in a series where like, you really feel like you know the characters, and then like a character dies that you love, and then that's when I'm like sobbing. Like it's very hard for like a standalone book, like just like one book, to make me cry. I'll like feel the emotions, but like the times that I feel like truly connected enough to the characters, like I need a few books to like warm up and like really feel connected to a character, and then the character dies, and then that's when I literally like can't breathe. I'm like hyperventilating because I think it's like someone I actually know in real life.
Okay, well maybe I just need to read some series and maybe I will cry and not feel like so bad about myself. Yeah,
also no, you don't need to cry to like be
no a, like I love human. The books, but I it just it makes me feel bad when someone's like, oh my gosh, I cried for hours about this, and I'm like, why did I not cry? Like, am I okay? Am I emotionally unstable because I didn't cry?
Do you cry from like books? I mean, not books. Wow. Do you cry from like movies and TV shows?
Yeah. If they like are sad, I for sure cry. Anything with dogs, I cry. I know that sounds probably really crazy. Like, I cried during – there was a Super Bowl commercial. There was a Super Bowl commercial. I cried. And we were out at a restaurant. Me and Brandon were out at a restaurant. And I cried. And he was like, you're not crying right now. And I was like, I'm crying. I can't hold it in. I can't. Yeah, no,
that one made me sob.
Yeah.
Also, my dog died in like November, so that really hit home. I was like, who did this?
Okay, but my dog died like literally in 5th grade, and I still cry about it. Like, I feel like you never get over it, you know? Like, that's your dog. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. And it's also like, it's been now like 3 months, and I still like walk in the house and I like, I'm like, hello? Like, why is it so quiet? Stop. Like, it's so weird.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry.
No, don't cry. See? You have emotions. You're
maybe.
Fine.
I don't know. Just for dogs.
You're fine. That's fine.
Oh, gosh. I saw you got a Kindle, which
I freaking love that thing.
I had the same thoughts that you did about, like, you know, you got to have the real hard copy book.
Yeah.
And I recently, Brandon's family had like a few extra Kindles. So I took one of theirs because I was like, I cannot bring all these books to Arizona and then back to Michigan. Come on, be realistic, Brie. Like, you're going to have to get over your hard copy book thing and get a Kindle, which I love that you got one too, because now I feel like
I'm literally obsessed with it.
I never thought I would turn into a Kindle girly, and I didn't think you would either with your bookshelf right there, but it happened.
I mean, I'm still really sick in the head, and I buy the books that I read on
Kindle. No, you don't. Do you really?
Only if I give it a 5-star. Oh, okay. If I give it 4-star, I don't need it. If I give it 5-star, which I tend to give out pretty liberally, I'll buy the hard copy book for decoration purposes. But I have a feeling that that will change when I move out of this bedroom. Mm-hmm. Because right now, like, all the decorations are literally just books. Mm-hmm. So when I have, like, an apartment with Jacob, I don't know how many books I'll have. But you know what? I'm going to have my books, so I don't know what
I'm
saying.
You just have to get a bigger bookshelf in the apartment, or and he can add his books if he has books, and then it's perfect.
Yeah, he could add his PA school books.
Perfect. It fits right in. 5 stars. No.
But seriously, the Kindle, love her. She's just the best. Like, I don't even want to read anything if it's not on Kindle Unlimited now.
Wow. What a change. What a change of heart.
What a change.
I don't know. I've only read one book on the Kindle so far, so I haven't really committed.
I just feel like I love that, like, you know, like, how much time you have left in the book and, like, how much time you have left in a chapter. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing you only have 5 minutes left in the chapter, you're like, okay, cool. Like, and you can just, like, put your head down for 5 minutes, like, not touch your phone. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I just, like, fly through the book so much quicker on the Kindle.
But when you have a hard – my sister and I were just talking about this too. Like, when you have a hard copy book, when you get to the next chapter, do you look ahead to see how many pages that chapter is to determine, like, am I going to read this or should I put it down? Because I do that with every chapter. I'm like, okay, how long is this? Do I have enough time to read it?
I don't do that with the – I don't do that with the actual books, but on the Kindle, I'm always looking, like, how much time is left in the chapter.
See, I always...
I get too scared to see a spoiler if I start, like, going through the pages.
That's true. You just close your eyes. You just...
I can't. I have the intrusive thoughts. I'd be like...
Okay, but no, I kind of do look at the spoilers. Like, when I get a new book, I always look at the last page. I know that's, like, not okay.
Maybe you are a psychopath.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's a little psychotic.
I don't know.
You know, it's because I want to know how many, like, pages are in the book, so I know, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Look at the number.
No,
look at that.
It's just,
like, what's on the
page. I know, but then you, like, catch a few words and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then I just can't help myself. I have to.
That is sick behavior.
Maybe that's why I don't cry, because I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I need to stop.
You already know the whole book.
Right? I have a problem. I don't know why I do it, but I just need to know. I need to know.
It's an interesting character trait I've just
learned. You're like, okay, never talking to Brie again.
Anyway, I'm just kidding.
You have a little book club too, right?
Yes, I do. I love my Discord.
I love that.
I love everyone that's in it. It's just such, like, a fun time. Like, it definitely has, like, periods where it's, like, more active than not. Mm-hmm. Like, based off of, like, who's in there talking, but it's just, like, a really fun place to, like, as soon as, like, you finish a book, like, go on there, see who's read it, and then you could talk about it with them, and, like, give book recommendations, and I have, like, the book of the month, and then we talk about those a little bit. It's really, like, informal. Like, I know some book clubs, like, are, like, read the book by this date, and then we're gonna have, like, these discussion questions. Like, we don't do anything like that. I just, like, recommend a book month, and then, like, in that little, like, space on Discord, we'll, like, some people will talk about it, but I don't know, it's just fun. Like, it's a nice spot, and I've just, like, made, like, a few friends from that book club that, like, I'll message on Instagram, and, like, we'll go back and forth. It's just, like, another corner of the internet that has, like, a special place in my heart, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I need to join. I think I was intimidated because I thought, like, all book clubs, you, like, you know, you have to read it by this date sort of thing, and I can never accomplish
that.
I, like, never meet deadlines like that. So I was nervous.
Listen, do you think anything that I do would be, like, organized and, like, set like that? Because it's not.
Chaos,
it's just, like,
only.
A place
chaos
that people
only.
Talk. Yeah. Yeah.
I should have known. Should have known better. Okay, well, now I have to join.
Should have known. Download the Discord app.
Yeah, I will. I'll do it after this. I promise. Well, but I'm behind. I'm sure you read, like, crazy amounts of books. I'm envious of you. How many books have you read already in 2023? I don't even want to know. I want to know, but I don't want to know.
I think, like, I think I'm not okay. So January, I think I read like
Oh
12.
my God.
And then,
That's
but
awesome.
February, I think I've only done like three. I think I'm at like 14 or 15 for the year.
That's literally
I don't
how
know, like
much
when
I
I'm on
read
vacation,
last year. I think I read 14 books. And
that's
oh,
good.
no, it's not.
That's
You
normal.
read that in not even 2 months, and you're telling me 12
This is
months?
not normal behavior. This is like obsessive personality. Like, there's been times when I was reading Zodiac Academy and it like literally completely consumed me. I would like look up and I'd be like, this is not normal behavior. Like, I need to go touch some grass or something. Like,
Need grass
I
time.
have a very like obsessive personality. So, everything is like a spectrum. I'd say that I'm on the more like unhealthy obsession side of reading.
If you're gonna have an
So,
unhealthy obsession, I think reading is a good one to have, you know,
oh
like No, but I'm the same way. I have a very addictive personality. Like, but I'll go through phases. Like, I will be on the reading train and go through. Like, I read in January, I think I read three books, which is the most. I know that's not really much compared to you, but it's a lot for me.
No,
It's a lot
it
for
is.
me, okay? And I was like banging them out. And then now I'm like, I'm stuck. I'm
Well,
stuck. But
you go through slumps, and then all it takes is like one good book to be like, oh yeah, I'm into this again. But then if you like read one that you're not really into, then and it takes you like forever to finish, then it's like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's how I read The Silent Patient. Have you read that one?
No, I have it, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay. So that one took me 2 months to read. And I'm like you. Like, Brandon makes fun of me because every book I rate like a five star. He's like, you just give out five stars. And I'm pretty sure I gave it a two. I like really didn't like it. And so yeah, if I gave it a two, you know, like it's rough, or it was rough for me. But I just really didn't like it. So it took me forever. But then I feel guilty not finishing it. So then I just like did not read because I was stuck on it. And
A lot of
ugh.
people like people feel very strongly one way or the other about like stopping a book like halfway through and like not picking it up again. I haven't done that yet, but I also haven't like come across a book that like I really don't like. Because like I know the genre I like and I tend to stick within that genre. So I like never really have something like I don't like, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like it's not that I didn't like the topic of it. It just was like a little slow, but also like I kind of knew what was the ending anyway. And I didn't read the last page of that one, but I knew the ending. Like I knew what was coming. But that's okay. I'm getting better. I'm working towards it. I'm on the last book. Have you read the Maybe Now, Maybe Someday?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I liked those.
I'm on the last one of that. Almost done. So that's my first series I've read those since I've started reading. And I do get what you're saying though, with like learning the characters more because I do like series in that way. But I haven't cried yet in
That's
this one. But
fine.
I don't know if it's a
I don't
tearjerker.
think, I mean, it's like, I mean, it has some like serious elements to it, but it's like mostly rom-com or at least romance. I was really into Colleen Hoover when I started reading, and now I kind of like, eh. Like, now that I've read other things, I think they're great to like get into reading because they're really quick and like easy. And like they get you hooked quickly, but now that I'm like I've read other things, I'm like, oh, definitely not like my favorite author anymore. Or like,
Yeah, I do think like she really got me into reading, and
that's what I
now
feel
I
too.
have like kind of looked at other books that people recommend based off of those books, like other romance books. And I do really like other authors. I think I was just kind of nervous to
Branch out.
go some.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was going to ask you that though. Like, what are some books you would recommend for people who like haven't read in forever and want to get back into it?
I mean, I'm still gonna recommend Colleen Hoover to start just because they're super easy reads that will get you hooked like on the first chapter, which is important. Let's take a look. What else do we have here? I personally love Emily Henry. Have you read anything by Emily Henry yet?
Yeah. Okay. Which
She's
one
a
did I
hit or
read? It's
miss.
Yellow. It's yellow. It wasn't Book Lovers.
I have people.
No, it's orange. It's orange. I see it.
People We Meet on Vacation.
Yeah.
You didn't like it, right?
And I read another one too, I think. What's the other orange one right there?
Beach Read.
Beach Read. Did I read Beach Read?
January, her name is.
I have that one. I'm supposed to read that one.
Book Lovers.
Book Lovers, I started reading and then I put it down. But I brought it to restart it. I think I read People We Meet on Vacation.
That's with Poppy, you know, and Alex.
Yes. Yeah, I did read that one.
I love that one. She's hit or miss though, because she's like contemporary romance, I think she's considered. So again, she's a hit or miss.
I just feel like they dragged on a little bit. Yeah. And they like, it wasn't as engaging to me. I think the problem was I went from Colleen Hoover straight to Emily Henry.
They're very.
And it was just like, it was very different. Did you so read, I just wasn't.
Yeah. Did you read Things We Never Got Over by Lucy Score?
No, that's one with all the daisies on the front, right? That's on my to-be-read list. But then I literally was going to order it off of Amazon. And I was reading the reviews on there, and a lot of people were like, this is the worst book I've ever read. And I'm like, wait, what?
Are you on Goodreads?
Yeah.
I would look on the reviews on Goodreads.
I barely do. I don't really use it much.
Yeah, no, just look at, like, the reviews. Like, if you're going somewhere to look at reviews, I'd look at Goodreads before, like, Amazon.
Don't trust Amazon.
That one, I really, really, really love Things I Never Got Over. That's also on Kindle Unlimited. It Happened One Summer, Tessa Bailey, great romance book.
Is that the blue one?
Yeah.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really I liked know that your one. And
I'm like a very visual person. I'm like picturing my bookshelf.
Yeah.
No, I really liked that one. And she has a second book for that one. Sinker, I liked that one too.
What about, did you do Every Summer After? That's a good one.
Every Summer After. Carly was Fortune. That the one?
They're like jumping.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I liked that one. Yeah, I one really lot. Liked that one. It very. Did you watch The Summer I Turned Pretty, or have you read the books?
No, I've heard about it. But oh my I gosh! Watched it.
You want to talk about a TV show that made me cry?
You have emotions.
But that made me cry, right? Yeah. And that book reminded me of that show,
yeah,
which it's also a book too, but
yeah,
I really liked
that's a good
that.
One.
But I don't think maybe I almost cried in that book. Every Summer After.
Yeah, I don't know if I cried from that one
because there was a sad part in it.
There
right?
is a sad part in it.
Yeah.
Like what else? Oh, did you read The Unhoneymooners? I really like that one too.
Yeah, I got through that one really fast. Yeah.
What about The Love Hypothesis?
I have that in my drawer. Is that good?
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
I need to read it.
That's my favorite one from Allie Hazelwood. Her other ones are like, okay. Oh, and also another really good one is The Dead Romantics. I listened to that one on Audible, and I have the physical copy. It's really good.
Have you read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo? I really liked that one.
I liked that one a lot, too. Oh, you know what? I don't think you would like this book, but some people, I loved it. This is like a true, 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 like, you either love it or you hate it, is Normal People by Sally Rooney. I freaking love that book.
Normal People.
But so many people really, really hate it.
Add it to my list.
Okay. I don't know.
Why? What do you, what do they hate about it? Is it romance?
So it's like one of those like tragic romances that are like painfully realistic. Mm-hmm. And like just a constant cycle of like right person, wrong time. But like, is it really the right person? But like you keep coming back to that person. Type thing. But you're not like a fantasy person, right?
I don't know. I've never really read any fantasy.
Yeah. It's definitely, the question I always ask when people like, you know, maybe want to get into it is like, do you like any fantasy like TV shows or movies, or you're not really into those either?
I don't know. I don't really even watch TV shows or movies anymore. Like,
yeah, but me either.
Like what's your, if you were to recommend a fantasy book, like to see if you like it or not, like top one must read, what would it be?
I always, always, always recommend A Court of Thorns and Roses to start.
Isn't it long? That's a big book, right?
So this is the thing about all fantasy books are going to be like long and have a lot of books in them, like all the series. Mm-hmm. It's just like how they are. The first book is not that long. It's like probably like 300 pages. Oh, like, okay. It looks like a normal book, but the series itself, this is the first book.
Okay. That looks more than 300.
Well, let's go to the last page.
Read it.
And I'll tell you if you should. Oh, so yeah, it's 419. But that's like a good series to start off with if you're trying to get into fantasy. And then from there, I have like a million recommendations, but that is always what I recommend starting with. And if you're into that, then it like opens a whole world for you.
Okay. Well, I need to add that to my list and see if I like it. It's so overwhelming because literally on my Goodreads, my to be read list is 25 books. And I'm like, where do I even start?
I think I have like over 100 on there.
Oh my
like,
gosh. That's even more.
Because anytime someone like recommends it, I'm like, Yep.
Add it to the list.
Add.
Me right now. Adding everything you say.
All the books every day. I'm never going to read all the books in the world. Just kind of sad. But, Shatter Me series is also another really good series. That one's less fantasy and more like dystopian type, which some people are more into.
Gotta add that. I'm adding them all right now. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's go over some of the questions.
Oh yeah.
Because we got some questions. What hobbies do you guys have outside of nursing?
Literally, I only have two, and that's like working out and reading.
I feel like those would be mine too. And also just like taking my dogs on a walk and hanging out with family and friends. But like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if that's considered a hobby.
Is that a hobby? Probably not.
It's something you do.
Something I do.
Yeah.
Have we normalized pre-shift anxiety, indicator of something more or worse?
Have we normalized it?
I don't think I've normalized it. I don't think it should be normalized, but I think it's something that like it can go either way. I think you need to like self-evaluate whether it's a healthy amount of anxiety. Or if it's like, okay, this is a toxic workplace. Like I will say like my first few months as a nurse, I definitely had pre-shift anxiety frequently. But I like knew it was just because like it was self-inflicted. You know, I was like worrying about things out of my control. And like after a long time off, I definitely will still get it sometimes. But it's not anywhere near the amount that I would before. So I think you kind of have to like evaluate – is this healthy anxiety? Is this normal or is this like extreme
or not?
Yeah.
I think it's very normal to have it as like a new grad because you're new and you have literally no idea what's going on.
Right.
And like being a new grad is actually the hardest thing you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it goes away. It's normal for it to like go away. And personally, like when I say I have like pre-shift anxiety, like on TikTok and stuff, I'm talking about like waking up early, like making sure I don't sleep through my alarm, like making sure I don't have traffic to get there. Like I never have anxiety once I get to work.
Yeah.
Like if you have pre-shift anxiety that then translates into like a 12-hour shift of anxiety,
right?
That's different.
That's totally different.
I think a little bit of like normal, like just nervousness about like the routine and like what's going to happen when you get to work and stuff, I think that's normal.
Yeah.
And I think that I would have these feelings for like any job.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Definitely. I think, yeah, like you said, a lot of the anxiety is, you know, like I'll set 5 alarms in the morning because I'm like, I got to make sure I wake up and go to work. You know, like I don't want to be late. I don't think I'm anxious when I'm actually doing my job. It's more just like anxious about getting there safely, anxious about, you know, being on time, stuff like that. So no, in no way, I don't think we normalize it. And I hope no one feels that it's normalized because I don't think it should be. And if you
I feel like you can use the word normalize in like 2 different contexts.
Right.
Where like if we're saying like we're normalizing it for other people to like feel okay that they have these emotions too, that's like a good thing.
Right.
But if you're using it in the context that we're like, oh, we're normalizing it, saying like everyone should feel this way and that's normal for like healthcare providers to feel compared to other jobs, like in that way, no.
Right. Yeah. But I think that's not what we're trying to say.
Between like the two of us, when we talk about it, we're more trying to be like, your feelings are valid. We have this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I used to get anxious about going to my like school nurse job. And I used to be anxious about going to class. Like, I think these are normal feelings.
Right.
But yeah. If it's like any level of anxiety for anything, if it's actually interfering with your like ability to like do tasks and it feels like out of the spectrum of like a normal amount, then yeah, that's an issue.
Right. And maybe, you know, this job that you're currently at, if you're feeling that way, might not be the best place for you to be at, because yeah. you shouldn't be having anxiety constantly every single day you work the whole time. Like that is not what yeah. we're trying to normalize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone else asked how to create work-life balance. By the way, I'm so excited for this collab.
It's definitely something you learn over time. And I talk about this a lot on TikTok about how when you're new, you're just focusing on like being new and like getting into the routine and like getting used to your like new life. And then as time kind of progresses, it becomes a lot easier to figure out this work-life balance. And also adjusting to 3 days a week is really hard. Like you would think it's not, but I talk about this too. Like even now, like some days when I have a random day off and like no one else is around, like I do struggle with like feeling lonely and like feeling bored, which is like feels like a stupid thing to complain about. And it's not necessary that you're complaining about, but this is just how you feel. Mm-hmm. So I think that transition is really hard, but I think it's important to have some like self-care measures already in place before you graduate. Kind of makes like the transition easier. And then yeah. it really all comes down to like just doing whatever it is that makes you happy. Like if someone follows me on TikTok and they see that like I'm reading and I'm exercising, that's because that's what I like to do. That doesn't mean that's like the only thing you can do.
Right.
I don't really try other things because that's what makes me happy. And like mm-hmm. I've gotten the day off like perfected to a science for mm-hmm. me. But like what I do doesn't mean it'll work for you. Like everyone's different. And really, I think with social media in general, it's very easy to just like constantly compare yourself to other people and like think that like because one person's doing something one way, that means like you should be doing it that way. Mm-hmm. But like it really just comes down to like the most basic understanding of like do whatever you have to do to make you happy.
Yeah. I think it takes a while to get work-life balance down, especially when you first start, because you might be yeah. new to shift work. Like you might be on night shift now as a new grad. Like there's so many different factors that play into it, and you might not have like a super great schedule. You could be on one, off on whatever. Like I think yeah. I definitely struggled for a little bit to figure out like what work-life balance was for me. And it's important to figure out, you know, what it is for you, because everyone does things differently. And something that really helped me, because what I struggled with for a while was like feeling so out of a routine, because I feel like you've yeah. been used to going to school for how many years of your life? Like Monday through Friday, you always did this. And then like you might work Monday, you might work Wednesday, you might work Saturday, like you normally don't really know what day it is, especially if you're on nights. Yeah. And so I feel like that really threw me off at first. So you need to perfect, like you said, like your day off routine. Like what is yeah. that routine for you? So like, you know, it's different for everyone. I wake up, I go to the gym, I eat breakfast, like I go get a coffee. Like I do these different self-care things, and that might be totally different for you, but like figure out yeah. your day off routine, and then your life feels more consistent, which also helps yeah. your work-life balance, I think.
Yeah.
It's yeah. hard though. It's hard to balance. It's hard to figure it out.
It's definitely hard. It took me a long time to figure out. Like I'd say probably like the first, well, also, you know, COVID like messed things up, but I think mm-hmm. it probably took me around a year to like feel comfortable with like having time off. And then at one point in my life, I was like picking up other jobs because like I didn't know what to do with myself with mm-hmm. free time. Because there's like I had this like mindset of like toxic productivity where I felt like mm-hmm. every hour of my life had to be like towards like doing something and like making money. So it took yeah. me a while to get to this place, and you kind of just have to like enjoy the journey. And again, like just don't think about it so much. Like, mm-hmm. just like think in your mind, like, is this making me happy? Yes. Is it healthy? Yes. Cool.
Right.
Keep going. Like,
well, I think also, like you said, the toxic productivity, like I think a lot of new grads go through the phase where like, oh, I'm just going to pick up a bunch of overtime. Like, why not? I have all this free time now. Like, I don't have to study. Yeah. Like, and that can lead to burning out quicker. So I feel like you have to find a healthy balance. I'm not saying like, don't ever pick up ever, but like, don't think you need to work every single day because you don't know what to do with your free time sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another question was, if you could have one thing to bring to your shift, what would it be?
Snacks.
That's a hard question. Snacks?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, trauma shears. like, I wasn't even thinking about that. Are snacks not included?
If we're talking about,
I need
like,
snacks, too.
If we're talking about one, like, medical Coffee. Item... I guess I'd say shears, but if we're talking about like literally one thing on your body, I'm bringing food because I cannot go like 2 hours without a snack.
Okay, I'm the same way. And I was telling one of my previous coworkers, like if I don't eat every few hours, like even if it's just like a protein bar, you know, like a piece of fruit or something, like I will not function efficiently. Like,
no.
And she was like, oh, I only eat like every 7 hours. And I'm like, no. We are not the same.
We are not the same.
We are not the same. But like, my blood sugar is dropping.
I just turned into like an actual monster.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, I am a hangry person.
Like, oh,
for
it's
sure.
Time for a saltine cracker. Must be 1 o'clock.
Or the graham crackers. Like.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Someone else will have a pair of shears, you know? No one else is going to share their snacks.
That's true. Yeah, but I feel like sometimes people won't share their shears either. Like, if you need them, I don't know. Some people forget them too.
Yeah.
Or a pen. I feel like pens. I always need a pen.
Yeah, I always steal people's
pens.
This
is hard. You can't just bring one thing.
I'm a pen stealer.
There's too many essentials. You're a pen stealer?
Oh, 100%.
What is wrong with you? What?
I have no shame.
At least you own up to it.
Everyone knows.
You're the problem.
If you give me a pen, I'm not giving it back.
Oh, I will hunt people down because I have a
specific pen. I actually don't even bring my own pens because I
just... Oh my gosh. Who are you?
The charge desk always has them, so I just grab one from there, you know?
Yeah, I guess if they keep it stocked, you might as well. But like, you don't have a pen that you like? Like, I am picky about my pens.
No, I have I literally use like those like $1 like Bic dollar store ones.
Okay, but you know what? Like, those ones aren't bad. I don't mind those.
I feel like
they're
I don't really
choice.
Like write that many things down.
I feel like I'm always like writing a little to-do list or like little reminders, like 2 hours due at whatever time, like stuff like that.
My brain
just because I can't
is just a scary place. I don't know.
I mean, sometimes I don't write stuff down, but I feel like I, like, lose my mind if I don't. And I also, like, have that – like, I will write stuff down that I already did.
I do that in my, like, just, real life.
Just so I can cross it out.
100%.
Gotta feel productive, you know? Another question was, new grad here, I'm struggling right now with my days off and what to do and how to not feel burnt out.
Yeah.
That's hard. I feel like with burnout as a new grad, like you need to kind of evaluate, you know, am I burnt out because I'm working too much? Am I burnt out because I don't like where I'm working? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing. Like a lot of people take their first job in a place that they don't like and they think that they have to stay.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to stay somewhere that you don't like. You know, like I think it's okay to leave a job that is toxic. And if you're feeling burnt out from your job and like consistently burnt out, you know, not just, I mean, cause I think everyone can go through phases, but if you really are feeling burnt out, you don't need to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Again, you just literally have to do what makes you happy and not feel like bad and guilty. And I think like there's a lot of times, like, healthcare workers specifically are, like, almost, like, gaslit, and their, like, compassion and, like, desire to help others is, like, almost used against them. So like admin like would purposely use those feelings of guilt like against you, trying to get you to like stay. But like you are like, you know how like people are like, oh, you're not like the center of the universe. It's like, well, you are literally the center of your own universe. So like you have to,
you gotta do you,
and you have to stop living for like other people's opinions, other people's like other people's lives, because they're the center of their universe and I'm the center of my universe. And like at the end of the day, like obviously it's different for like your family and like your loved ones and like stuff like that, but like besides like your inner soul, like you just have to do things that like benefit you, and you can't feel guilty about doing the things that like would make you the happiest.
Yeah, you just, you have to do what's best for you. And I think it's hard as like a healthcare worker, as a nurse, whatever, like you are used to putting others before yourself. Yeah. So I think it's kind of hard to be like, no, I'm going to do what's best for me. Yeah. I'm going to put myself and my needs first.
Yeah.
Because you're used to caring for others. And like, that's, you know, what we do sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you got to put yourself first, because if you don't, you aren't putting your best foot forward for your patients. Yeah. Like it affects every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
It's hard though. For sure, to realize, like,
this I definitely isn't think, like, the best. It also, you have to give it some time as a new grad to get better.
True.
Because it is, the transition is literally so hard. Like, you can work in the best hospital with the best management, with the best resources, and the transition is still, like, the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah, I agree. Being a new grad is so hard, and I don't think I expected it to be as hard as it was.
I don't think school prepares you enough for how hard the transition is.
No, definitely not. And I think like, you know, this, I think give it 6 months. 6 months on your own.
Yeah.
And see like, am I feeling better or is this still toxic? Like, because, you know, you could work in the best place ever and still just not, that might not be your place, you know, like not every unit is for every person.
Yeah.
But no, the transition is super duper hard, and I don't think it gets talked about enough. Like, especially like going straight, I think, you know, I chose to go into ER, you chose to go into ER, but like, I think that was a hard transition.
Yeah.
And obviously they warn you about it, but it's hard. It's a whole different way of thinking from nursing school to actually being the nurse, you know?
Even the transition from being with a preceptor to being on your own is so hard, because you, like, think you're doing everything on your own with the preceptor, but then when you're on your own and you realize you don't have them to, like, fall back on, you're like, oh, shit. Like, it becomes a lot more real, even, like, that transition. Because I think, like, a lot of times what happens with people is they start to gain some confidence, and like things are looking up, and then you're off orientation and you feel like you've taken like 7 steps backwards, and then you're like start to feel like really self-conscious and being like, I was feeling so good. And like the thing about nursing, which is like, I think is really cool, is that like you just have to realize you're never going to know everything. And even 3.5 years in, there are things that I literally have no idea, and I have to ask my coworkers. And
that's fine.
That's fine.
That is so fine. I think you like put a lot of, at least I put a lot of pressure on myself to like, oh, you have to know it all. You can't ask questions. Like you're supposed to know this, but like that is not the truth at all. No. You could be a nurse for 35 years and still not know something.
I literally ask questions every day.
And that makes you a good nurse. Yeah. It makes you a good nurse. And like, you know what? There are people out there that you probably shouldn't ask questions to because they're rude and they aren't going to be supportive. But you just gotta find those few people that you know you can go to, whether they were like old preceptors or the charge nurse, whoever it may be. Like find your person that you can ask questions to.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask. Like it is so important to make sure you're still asking questions because it's hard.
Yeah.
Like being on your own. I agree with you. Like, it's like you take a few steps back when you're finally like on your own officially, because you have no one there, you know, guiding you.
Yeah.
But don't think of it that
way.
At
the same time,
there's
like
still people looking out for you.
Yeah.
You know, just cause you're on your own doesn't mean you're alone.
I think like the best characteristic you can have as a nurse is like knowing that you don't know everything and like constantly just like asking other people for their opinions and for their help
and be willing to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you walk in there acting like you know everything, thinking you know everything, you don't. Like, and it's fine to own that you don't. Yeah. I'll own it. I don't know everything. I probably will never.
You never know everything. It's not probably. And that's literally totally never fine. Will.
Let's no, go. Yeah. Literally never will. And medicine is always changing. Like, that's the place we work at. Like, and I think it might be hard consciously to like admit that to yourself, that you will never know everything, because you're so used to like, oh, I gotta learn all this material for this test, like I need to know all this.
Yeah,
but it's not like that in the real world. Like, you, it's not, that's not practical. Yeah. And it's fine, just give yourself 100%. Grace, you got this. it'll all be fine. It all works out at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
But all right, just got off my little spiel there. Well, I've had such a good time talking to you. We've been talking for so long now. I could talk to you for hours probably.
Yeah.
Where?
3 hour
episode. Yeah, this is a never ending episode. Continuous. Where can people find you?
At Nikki Alvarez with 2 Z's on TikTok and Instagram. You can follow me on Goodreads. We can be friends on Goodreads if you want to see my book recommendations. And then also in like my bios is going to be the link for that Discord book club as well.
And then you also have merch.
Chat on there.
Hug the merch.
Yes, I do. And this is my new merch coming out soon.
I love that. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a matching set.
Stop. That is too good. I love it.
Just got delivered like an hour ago.
Stop it. That's so cute. I'm so excited. I love it. I wish you guys could see it.
In my bio.
You'll see it soon. Wait, when is it coming? It's coming out next week? Is that what you said?
Maybe. This was like the first like they just sent me like this.
Oh, okay.
And I really like this. One of the sweatshirts, like, the little thing was like too low, so we have to like edit that.
Well, when this is out. When this comes out, be on the lookout for it. It might be out, it might not be, but keep an eye out. It's super cute.
Keep me on your toes.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise.